This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by FSFAM.com, AVSFAM.com.
So the Colorado Avalanche went to Sweden with a little bit of hockey on their mind, but what they didn't plan for was a full 60 minutes of hockey, two games in a row, and guess what it cost them? 3 points. They got 1 point, they took it to overtime, but they just took it to overtime. Fact of the matter is the Avs got outplayed, outshot, and out-hockeyed by the Ottawa Senators. Meanwhile, a bunch of Colorado Avalanche fans were sitting in the stands. They followed their hockey club all the way to another country to watch them play, and I have to say, minus the beers, minus the crowds, minus the friends, and minus the cheering, they might have been a little bit disappointed because their hockey team did not win. But hey, if you're an Avalanche fan, you know that things haven't been going good for a while, and last year was really, really bad. Abysmal, I'll say, because I like big words. Every indication shows me that we are going to be a better team than we were last year, but that doesn't speak to the expectations of the fans, maybe even the players, and probably not the organization. They seem pretty content with the 5-year plan here. But as fans, we see one or two wins, we're like, oh my god, we're awesome, we're going for the cup this year, and then we lose and we're like, this is some bullshit. Somebody's head needs to be on a stick right now. I'd prefer it to be Bednar or Sakic. And as fans, we have that right. I say it all the time, we're fanatics. That's exactly what that means. You freak out, you get fanatic about shit. So let's do it, let's be fanatic. Let's do our thing and freak out about a couple of things. Every time you hear this little sound, that means we're moving on to a new freak out, a new fanaticism. So who showed up and who didn't? Who came to play hockey? Well, Soderberg didn't show up, not at all, but hey, he's having a baby, and according to Peter McNabb, it's okay to hang out with your wife while she's having a baby and be there for her. You know, not for yourself or anything, just for her. Anyways, I found that funny, but the fact of the matter is he didn't make the trip, and I bet he really wanted to make this trip. So it sucked to not see him on the ice because, let's be honest, Soderberg has been better than a lot of other players this year. Maybe not top of the line, bell curve kind of stuff where he's been the best player any particular time, but he's been consistently good and consistently not bad. And that's exactly what I'm looking for in a player right now. You know who else could fit that bill right now? I know, you're not going to want to hear this, but Blake Como. He's playing really good hockey, folks. True, he did have a breakaway. True, he did score, but he did look behind him right as he hit the dots. And I know everybody wants to think, oh my god, he was looking for somebody to make a pass to. No, I don't think so. I think he was looking to see how much time he had. I don't think he's ever going to make another back pass in his life. So we got Como and Soderberg playing really good hockey. Those are veterans. Those aren't young guys anymore, right? Well, they should be doing that. They know better. The fact of the matter is we have young guys who can do some really awesome stuff, but every now and then they do something that really makes you scratch your head. Maybe shake it. Maybe bang it against the wall. But that's what they do. They're young players. They're learning how to do the right things right now. So this brings me to my first point. What about Big Z being scratched? What about him being benched, getting limited minutes when he's on the ice? Well, it's been something that's been talked about quite a bit, and we just talked about it with a few of you on Facebook. Hey, thanks for chiming in. That was awesome. So I've been trying to put myself in the shoes of Coach Bednar. What is he thinking right now? What is keeping him from putting Big Z out on the ice? And I posed this question really just kind of as a outward facing blurb, but many of you saw it on Facebook and you answered, which is awesome. I should get into this more. So here's what I'm thinking. I think that Big Z's progress is being stifled because he's being benched too much. He's being taken off the ice too much. I get it. He does some stupid stuff. He had some real highlights last year, but this year it seems like he's not playing enough system. He's still just looking for the big hit, which is gonna come regardless of if you're playing a system or not. So Bednar is basically saying, hey, go out there. And if you mess up once, I'm bringing you off. And if you mess up twice, you won't be playing in the next game because I'm mad at you. I want you to be better than you are, and you're not being that guy, so I'm not gonna let you play hockey. That's where I have the problem. That seems like a backwards line of thinking. Hey, you need to be better. If you're not good, we're not gonna let you play. I was like, hey, I want you to eat more, but if you don't eat, I'm not gonna let you eat for a week. I know, that's a silly comparison, but that's kind of how I feel about this whole thing. But then you guys started chiming in and you made some really good points. One thing that really caught my eye was at the tail end of a really interesting conversation between AJ Hafley and Dallas Verity. Hope I said that right, dude. Basically, what AJ was saying after this back and forth that they did is that the staff is seeing it more as not rewarding mediocrity, not rewarding Z for going out there and giving less than his full Z-ness. They think that he's got so much more to give, and because he's not giving it, they're saying, hey, if you're not going to go out there and be the best that you can be, then you're not going to go out there and do anything. The very best, you're going to keep that bench warm just in case we need you. And I dig this idea, but still, I don't know if it's sustainable. How long do you do that before you put him back out on the ice and you let him play some hockey? I don't know the answer to that. And again, I'm a fan. I'm being fanatical about it. I think it's some bullshit. Get Z out there. I want him to smush somebody's face against the ice with his big old butt and then get a penalty and then a fight for it, because that's what happens these days. Actually, let's take a minute and talk about that right there. Why does a good, clean hockey hit always end up in a fight these days? It's silly to me how everybody's so against fighting, but that's the one exception. Hey, you caught me clean, bro. I'm gonna fight you now. Or hey, you hit my guy and knocked him down really, really good. Now we must fight. And Z is always willing to do it. But for me, this is some bullshit right here. If I'm that player on the ice that hits somebody and everybody wants to fight me for it, I'm like, hey, beat me at hockey first. If you can do that, then we'll fight. Otherwise, get over yourself, asshole. But I digress. So let's move on to somebody else. Here's that sound. So what up with Rocco? Oh, and P.S. if you do follow us on Facebook, you saw me talking about this one too, where I called him Rocco Pete Coltrane, which is like a reference to a really old show called The Dukes of Hazzard. You should go look at Facebook, click on the video, and you'll get it, because this is exactly what I imagine him doing on the ice as he's skating as fast as he can. This weird hick rebel rousing voice thing. Anyways, Rocco Grimaldi is a guy who's really fascinating to me because he tears it up in the AHL. He is electric and he brings some of that electricity to the NHL as well, but he never seems to thrive here. He never seems to have the coach's confidence. He never seems to get enough ice time and the players around him to do something totally awesome. And I've been trying to figure out why. And it seems really obvious in retrospect, but here's what I think. I think that he is all those things. He is dynamic, he is fast, he is electric, he can create offense, and he can do a lot of good things. But once you get past the offensive zone, through the neutral zone, and get back into the defensive zone, this is where I'm going to keep an eye on him a little bit closer, because I think that might be the fail right there, is you can't trust him on the ice to play defense. So you're essentially having yourself penalty kill anytime he's on the ice. Now, I've watched a little bit and I remember him really buzzing around doing some things, but I think where he's losing is he's losing on the boards. As a winger, you have to get that puck out of the zone if it comes to you, or at least tie your guy up long enough to get some help. I don't think he's big enough to do it. I think that really is the problem. I think he has skill. I think he can think the game. I think that he's everything you want in a player except for another foot and a half tall. I know, that sounds really mean, right? I mean, I'm not exactly a really tall dude. Big, not tall. But anyways, I think that it's important. I think that if you can't go out there and physically hang with the guys on the ice, then you can't play the same game they're playing. And for this reason, I think that we're going to see Rocco Grimaldi take a seat back in the AHL, and he could become a lifer there, which is unfortunate, because if he was just a little bit bigger, had a little bit more mass, or is smart enough to play defense the way he plays offense, he'd be in the NHL. I really think that he would. He may not be a top line, but I think that he could move himself up to third line, maybe second line some nights. At the end of the day, you have to play hockey in all three zones, and I think that is the problem right there. But I'm really excited to see what you guys come up with too, because this little exchange we've been having on Facebook is really interesting to me. Everyone has to think first, then they write, and then they tell you what they think. It's not like Twitter, where people just have this direct line from their brain, usually the douchey side of their brain, to a tweet, and they say some shit that's just mean, stupid, and wrong. So, Facebook, I love you today. We'll see you about tomorrow. And moving along, let's talk about Duchene. Why? Because we have to. I didn't bring it up in the beginning, and actually, in full disclosure, there was a podcast before this that I deleted because it was just that kind of douchey I was talking about. I was having a moment, I was being pissed off at the world, and I was just basically tweeting at everybody in my really fast talking voice. So I got rid of that one because I don't need to share that. Here's the thing about Duchene. I think it's awesome. I really do. I love Duchene. Avs fam has about everything Duchene you could possibly imagine, but at the end of the day, regardless of who's right, who's wrong, who liked somebody, who didn't like somebody, it just wasn't working. You don't stay in a house with somebody you don't love anymore, and you don't stay on a hockey team that doesn't love you and you don't love them. If Matt Duchene thinks that he can go and be a better Matt Duchene with another team, we owe it to him to do that. We've done it for everyone else in the world. We did it for Iggy. We gave McLeod to the Predators so that he could go chase his dreams. I think in this case, Duchene was just too valuable to just let go just like that. And let's be honest, Sakic got a haul. Sakic did what everybody said Sakic couldn't do. So now what? Joe Sakic somewhere is like, how do you like me now? How do you like me now? As for the game in Sweden, which Matt Duchene was in, which was a really good story and a really good setup, it kind of fizzled at the end. It was a bit of a lackluster game for everyone involved. Duchene didn't look horrible, but he didn't look great. He kind of looked like he does here. A lot of chances, no finish. So let's talk about the players that did show up and did play good hockey. Craig Anderson was great in his usual way. He didn't let a lot of pucks in. His team scored more than they let in, and they won the game. Our goalies, on the other hand, just weren't amazing. Varley looked nervous. He looked like he wasn't in his element and something wasn't right. And that panned out in the score as well. And then we have Bernay, who, come on, folks, that's a bad bounce. He's a good goalie, but that's a bad bounce. I know he has to have those, but sometimes you don't have those. That's just what a bad bounce is. If it was something you had, it wouldn't be a bad bounce. It'd be a fluky little damn that was close. Give a guy a break, okay? He could have been better too, but from start to finish, from the back of the net to the end of the other net, all of our guys between there could have been better. So the last person I'm going to talk about is the coach, Bednar, right? Everyone is saying he got out-coached. Maybe. I don't know. I've never really thought about this sort of thing. I mean, he doesn't seem to do much back there anyways, and that was part of the gripe. I mean, basically they were saying, hey, when it was on the line and we needed to do something in a hurry, he sat back, looked like maybe he was a little bored, and he let his assistant coaches handle it. Now, from my experience, that's how that goes. Tim Army did that. I mean, every coach basically has a guy who specializes in a certain thing, and it's almost always an assistant coach talking to the team at the end of the game saying, hey, this is how we're going to get back in it. Line up, get the puck, shoot it in, something like that. But to say that Bednar's a bad coach for that, I don't think that's fair. As far as the other stuff and who he put on the ice and who he didn't and when he did or didn't pull his goalie, yeah, I think that sometimes his willingness to let a player go out there and just feel the pain burns him. I think in this case, it did burn him. So for me, Bednar, I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere. So he is what he is at this point. I'm not particularly mad at him, but I think that he could also be better himself. It's too bad that the players can't get together and go, hey, coach, we're benching you. Get your shit together. We'll try again next time. So that, my friends, is the end of the Duchene era and the beginning of something awesome, I hope. Hey, thanks to everyone who went to Sweden and sent me pictures. Y'all are awesome. And if you want to get stickers, send me pictures. You never know. I might just trade you. This and every other show that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com. Really awesome hockey stuff for really awesome hockey people. You should go check them out right now because they have things that you need for really awesome prices. AvsFam.com. Stay awesome.